Stay tuned for more Jazz America with me, Russ Davis, right after the news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. Pro-government fighters in Yemen report they have killed a senior al-Qaeda leader along with at least two other militants. Abu Anwar was head of a court set up by the al-Qaeda in Yemen's largest province, which the extremist group largely controls. Al-Qaeda's Yemen branch considered by Washington to be the most dangerous offshoot of the terror network. Iraqi security forces starting to evacuate civilians who had been trapped and used as human shields by Islamic extremists in the city of Ramadi. VOA's Sharon Bain reporting.
The city has been destroyed, the UN's refugee agency told VOA via Skype from Baghdad.
So what we hear from the new arrivals is that indeed it has been difficult for them to get out. There has been sniper fire. There have been protection concerns.
Survivors said that 8 months under Islamic State control were brutal.
When the security was gone from Anbar province, life was dead. Even if they tell you that we were living, this is not true. Death is all we saw.
Iraqi forces said Islamic State militants were using civilians as human shields to escape Ramadi. Those rescued by Iraqi forces have nothing. Humanitarian agencies and NGOs are rushing to help. Sharon Bain, VOA News, Washington.
Somali militant group Al-Shabaab has released a new recruiting video that highlights U.S. police shootings and a call by U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump to ban Muslims from entering the United States. Unidentified Al-Shabaab spokesman speaking English asserts on the video that Muslims in the U.S. must choose between living in this country or taking up the cause of holy war. Al-Shabaab has been fighting to install a strict Islamic State in Somalia since 2006. This is VOA News. An explosion struck the Afghan capital Kabul on Friday evening, killing one person, wounding 11 others. Taliban quickly claimed responsibility and said one of its suicide bombers had carried out that attack. Blast hit a central residential area of the city, which is home to many Afghan officials and where guest houses are also located. The target of the attack not immediately clear. Police in India say a small group of gunmen attacked an Air Force base in Punjab State near the border with Pakistan. That happened early today. Officials say two of the attackers were believed killed during the shootout with soldiers at the base. They say gunfire is going on still, and there are few details available right now. Indian officials say they're still trying to identify the attackers. The New York State man here in the United States who is accused of planning to carry out a New Year's Eve attack on a Rochester bar on behalf of the Islamic State terror group had suffered some psychiatric problems since childhood, that according to his family. Federal authorities say 25-year-old Emmanuel Lutchman had also been in trouble with the law since 2006 and converted to Islam while serving a 5-year sentence for robbery. Lutchman was charged with attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State. Gary Craig is a reporter with Rochester's newspaper, The Democrat and Chronicle.
He and an informant who was working with the FBI went to Walmart on, it may have been the 29th, and then bought a machete, knives, zip ties, which allegedly were going to be used if you wanted to abduct somebody, ammonia, and I think some maybe latex gloves or something like that, and with the idea of these were going to be items that were used at this during this attack on this restaurant bar.
FBI said Lutchman had pledged allegiance to IS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and wanted to leave the United States to live in the IS caliphate. During his weekly address to the nation, President Obama asked, what if Congress did anything to protect our kids from gun violence? He talked about his frustration with the unfinished business to control the country's epidemic of gun violence. He said 3 years ago, a bipartisan common sense bill would have required background checks for virtually everyone buying a gun. He said also supported by a majority of the National Rifle Association, but the gun lobby mobilized against it and the Senate blocked it. Grammy award-winning singer Natalie Cole, the daughter of jazz legend Nat King Cole, is dead at the age of 65. Family statement said that Cole died Thursday of ongoing health issues. She began her career as an R&B singer and had huge hits, many of them, but none like a virtual duet with her father, Unforgettable.
That's the latest world news from VOA. This is Russ Davis, and I welcome you to another hour of the best of jazz past and present and conversation with two great guitarists of the current generation celebrating birthdays in January, Mike Stern and Lee Ritenour. Of the current generation of modern jazz guitarists, there are none greater than Mike Stern, born on the 10th of January in 1953, and Lee Ritenour, born on the 11th of January in 1952. We'll talk to these two gentlemen and hear some of their music this hour here on VOA's Jazz America. But let's begin the hour with a celebration of another very famous jazz man who was born in Havana, Cuba, 101 years ago on the 7th of January in 1915. His name, Luciano Pozo Gonzalez, known as Chano Pozo. He was the Afro-Cuban jazz percussionist, singer, dancer, and composer who collaborated with Dizzy Gillespie in 1947 and, by many people's account, began what we now call Afro-Cuban jazz or Latin jazz, blending all of those apparently disparate worlds, not so apparently, after they created this wonderful music. And now today, Latin jazz is as big as any other genre of jazz anywhere. Let's enjoy a taste of that classic first wonderful work that became Latin jazz, recorded in 1947. A collaboration between Dizzy Gillespie and Chano Pozo. They wrote this song together. It's called Manteca, and it begins this hour of VOA's Jazz America. We'll be right back.
Like a diamond in the light, he's my star, lead me on tonight. If I lose him, clouds come in, do anything to bring him back again. And I'm crying, standing in the driving rain. Believe me when I tell you, like my hunger for the innocence of youth. When I need him, call his name. If I lose him, then I'm falling again. And I'm crying, standing in the driving rain.
Standing in the driving rain.
Believe me when I tell you,
there you have a taste of the soulful side of West Coast jazz. That's Marilyn Scott on vocals from her album Avenues of Love with Love is a Powerful Thing. And joining with her on that release, which came out in 1998, some of the royalty of West Coast jazz at the time. It was produced by the late, great keyboardist and producer George Duke, who also played keyboards on some of the songs, and members of the group The Yellow Jackets. Russell Ferrante on keyboards, on horns, Bob Mincer. On the bass, Jimmy Haslip. Love is a Powerful Thing. A little West Coast jazz for you. And some of the finest of West Coast jazz has been coming for decades from another of our special guests on this edition of Jazz America, guitarist Lee Ritenour. Let's hear some thoughts from Mr. Rittenour and then hear some of his latest work from A Twist of Writ here on VOA's Jazz America. He spoke to us earlier about an inspiration that he gained from the great Les Paul. Well, he also gained a lot of inspiration in his style of playing and in general from another guitar great, Wes Montgomery. What did you learn from Wes Montgomery?
Well, what I learned from Wes, I learned it as a teenager first. And I was 13 when I first heard him. My dad took me to hear him at a club in Los Angeles at the beach called The Lighthouse. And then we heard him at Shelley's Manhole in Hollywood. So what I learned from Wes is something that stayed with me for all these years in whatever kind of music I play, whether it sometimes be more aggressive contemporary jazz or funk or even rock and roll. He had this incredible melodic aspect to his music. Whether he was soloing or playing the melody, it was always melodic and it was always very rhythmical. He was always very much what we call in the pocket. You know, he was just, every note sounded like his he had incredible time, sort of like Count Basie, the way he had time. You know, just all the notes went in the right space at the right time. And I became a very rhythm-oriented playing, and I think Wes had that influence on me, even when I started to do rhythm Motown R&B dates when I first became a studio player in the 70s. You know, his rhythmic influence was always there from an early teenager on with me. And most important about his albums is they had an incredible feeling. He had this smoky 3 o'clock in the morning kind of feeling, and yet they were exciting, and there was tons of great music going on, but they were accessible at the same time. It's a hard thing to describe.
You did a pretty good job of it, though. Thank you. That's good.
Lee Ritenour with the song Working It from his new album A Twist of Writ. Well, you heard him mention the influence of Wes Montgomery. He's influenced many guitar players, Lee Ritenour among them. Here's a taste of some of his finest work as we give you the song 4 on 6, one of his most famous. Wes Montgomery with Tommy Flanagan on piano, Percy Heath on bass, and Albert Heath on drums on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. As you look at the guitarists in jazz history, who played with more style and was more impressive and had more influence than Wes Montgomery? Nobody I can think of off the top of my head. Many as good, none better. Hope you enjoyed one of his most famous songs here on Jazz America. And I've got another of the greats of jazz guitar today, Mike Stern, celebrating a birthday in the beginning of January, coming up. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And now I'm going to read an email message and invite you and all of us listening to VOA's Jazz America to join in and send some good feelings to a Jazz America listener who wrote me this email. Hello, Russ. My name is Marin Wandamu from St. Raful, Ethiopia, 32 years old and a mother of two. And now I am in the critical part of my life. I need prayers. I have a health problem. Any kind of song that will give me energy and strength, I will appreciate, and keep me in your prayers. Thank you so much. Well, Marin, I have a song for you from one of the finest ladies I have ever met and one of the greatest artists in jazz vocalizing, Diane Reeves. It's called Feels So Good, Lifted. And hopefully, as you hear this song from her album Beautiful Life, you will feel better and feel lifted to a good place. And I want all of us listening to Jazz America to join in and send Marin some beautiful, good vibrations. Will you join me with that as we hear this song here on VOA's Jazz America?
In my emotions, stuck in a why and who's to blame. Powerless to change the natural motion, knowing that some things will never change. So I let it go. Oh yeah, 'cause there are things you simply can't control. And it feels so good. I wanna say lifted. I wanna stay free. Yes, it feels so good just to be open, just to be seen. Sometimes I give my consent. Skillful disillusion, let thou control my inner dreams. I'll write the story's ending before it begins, and make conclusions based on where I've been. Then I let go. Oh yeah, there are things I know I can't control. And it feels so good now that I'm lifted, now that I'm free. Feels so good just to be open, just to be seen in grace and peace. Always a chance.
And it feels so good. Time.
That was Miles Davis from his album that was a return to recording and performing live, The Man with the Horn. He took about 7 years off to get himself together and to shake an addiction to drugs, and he came back in great form with lots of help from other wonderful musicians, including guitarist Mike Stern. That's the song Fat Time from The Man with the Horn, Miles Davis, and that song was written for and dedicated to his guitar player, Mr. Mike Stern. At the time, apparently, Mike Stern was a little overweight, a little fat. He's now just about as skinny as a person can be, certainly taking care of himself. And Miles Davis, well, to him, anyone was fat because Miles was one of the slimmest persons you might ever have a chance to see. Hope you enjoyed that piece of jazz history. And now let's get some more history on the career and life of one of the reigning kings of modern jazz guitar, Mike Stern, celebrating his 63rd birthday on the 10th of January. Happy birthday to him, and let's enjoy his thoughts, then some of his music, here on VOA's Jazz America.
You know, you found through the devices that you play through and the guitar that you choose and the way you touch the strings, you found a voice. It has a human quality, and I want you to expound on that a little bit.
I appreciate that, first of all, but I think it's over time you find your own way of playing, hopefully. Mm. You know, you just do it enough and you kind of, and for me, I kind of stuck with a certain kind of a concept that was kind of natural for me, because when I was little, I was singing first. I was, you know, more like screaming around the house. Mm. And my mom heard me do that all the time, so she knew that I was going to do something with music. Mm-hmm. And so she got me some piano lessons, and then I went, at age about 9 years old, I picked up the guitar. And it was about 12 years old. I picked up the guitar, and it was just kind of my decision to kind of, you know, that was my choice, you know. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was kind of, I'm 12 years old, I'm making my own choices here, you know. I don't want to go, because my mom plays piano really, really beautifully, and so I kind of got hooked to it right away. But I always liked the singing quality of a horn. Mm-hmm. Also. Mm-hmm. And also just the singing quality of a voice. Mm-hmm. So I always tried to get that somehow through the guitar, the way I play it. I'll pick, sometimes I pick every note, but I pick them light. Mm-hmm. And kind of not real even sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that the kind of the syllables that come out, mm-hmm, or whatever are kind of vocal kind, mm-hmm, of sounding. Mm-hmm. And then I like two amps, a kind of a stereo sound, mm, to give it kind of more, mm-hmm, of an acoustic kind of quality, and kind of more air, mm, and a little bit of ambiance with a little bit of chorus and some delay. But mainly I think it's the way I kind of play and just hear the sound is, mm, just, for better or for worse, it, for me it's just natural to, and I like it to sing.
And I want you to listen closely to the sound of Mike Stern as he plays guitar and how his sound kind of sings in a human way. Here's another version of a Miles Davis song, So What, from a collection created by various guitarists called Fusion for Miles, a Guitar Tribute. Mike Stern with So What on Jazz America from VOA 1.
The last group of the afternoon features, as leader and pianist, a man who is influential not only as pianist, but as composer. Like Thelonious Monk and Duke Ellington, he has created engaging originals for his own group to play, which then have become part of the standard jazz repertoire. Horace Silver, the Horace Silver Quintet.
Thank you.
Cora Silver Quintet with Cool Eyes, recorded live at the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival in Rhode Island. And maybe you recognize the voice of the person who was introducing the band. He presented jazz on Voice of America for over 40 years, Willis Conover. This is Russ Davis, and on the next edition of Jazz America, we'll salute the late, great Willis Conover as we hear from four jazz musicians, Anthony Braxton, Monty Alexander, Dick Hyman, and Bill Frisell. They talk about Willis Conover, meeting him, knowing him, respecting him, and revering him. And after we talk to them, we'll hear their music. Next week on Jazz America, join me then, won't you?